With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat-up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well, then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
Coming up on today's episode, we're still streaking. The Jets make it 8 in a row against Chicago, plus the lowdown on Scheifele's early exit due to injury.
Hello, everybody. Recording live from somewhere.
What's good and welcome to another episode of Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Rewicki. You can follow me on Twitter at Brandon_Rewicki or the podcast at Skates Plates Pod. Yeah, that's right. 8 is great. It's never going to end. We're all going to live forever. The Jets continue to stand alone atop the rest of the NHL standings after a, surprising result, I guess, against the league worst. I mean, Chicago Wolves more so than the Chicago Blackhawks, but some late game magic. They find a way to get it done. So we'll break down the game for you guys here. And unfortunately, maybe the bigger story, the mid-game injury to Mark Scheifele, which we'll obviously touch on as we move our way through the episode today and as we head into the weekend. But all in all, good vibes, and the chase for 9-10 will continue over the weekend for the club. Joining me once again to break down the game against Chicago and everything else, CJOB's Tyson Rewicki is here with us. Tyson, birthday week, how we doing? How was the birthday brisket, by the way?
It's fantastic. It was just a delight. It was
I'm so happy for you. I got some intel that you also recently just wrapped up a nice little birthday dinner at Pizzero.
I might have.
what's the review on Pizzero? Though you went to the Corridon one, right? Not the, I know they're at the Forks, but they, for those that don't know, pretty recently, I think they picked up a shop on Corridon just past in and around like the Lilac area there.
Oh, it was awesome. It was so good. We got probably, I think it was 6 plates, and it was just, my favorite was the octopus. There was like this octopus with a saffron aioli. Ooh. And I've just never had octopus cooked that perfectly. Like, you know, usually it's a little chewy. It was like melt in your mouth. It was awesome.
Oh, I do like a good octopus. I always got to get past it when I go there, but I might have to switch it up a little bit.
Do you feel a little weird eating an octopus?
Yeah, I don't like to think about how smart they are. although I haven't, I came across that like revelation. I haven't eaten octopus since I kind of like, there was a thing. I didn't know there was a thing that like eating octopus is bad. And then I'm like, oh, well. Now I don't know if I want to. Like, if that one feels kind of weird. So I don't know. I'll have to see what happens there.
It's a shame they're so tasty.
That is, I mean, I think we can all agree on that. That a well-cooked octopus is about as good as it gets. Glad. I'm happy. Happy you enjoyed your meal. And if anybody here that's listening hasn't checked out Pizzero yet, either at Corden or at the Forks, yeah, you're going to want to do that. It's pretty much a home run no matter what you choose there. But it was a not quite a Michelin-starred effort by the Winnipeg Jets against Chicago Thursday night. That's a pretty good segue. I'll give myself a stick tab for that one. But they get it done. I mean, it was, let's face it, it was an ugly game to watch. It wasn't very enjoyable. The Jets didn't have their... especially compared to the previous 7 dubs that they've picked up. This was not one of their finest efforts of the season. It was like a midweek slog, right? Like, you know, the weekend's almost there. You're just kind of going through the motions a little bit. That's kind of what it felt like for the Winnipeg Jets on this night, combined with the fact that, I mean, Peter Mrazek is now the new Vemelka, apparently. I mean, he's played out of his mind against Winnipeg these past two games. But the Jets get it done. And, I mean, that's kind of the hallmark of a great team, right? You have your B, C, maybe D effort, and you find a way to pull through. And to do so as well with the injury to Mark Scheifele midway through the game, that's obviously a big loss, but then throws the rest of the lines into a bit of a blender there. I mean, it's just, it's character all over the place, Tyson. And again, a game I don't think they find a way to win last year.
Yeah, no, totally. And even just, like, I just wanted to say off that Ehlers goal as soon as he crossed the blue line. You know, like, this is totally
going. It was over.
But yeah, like, it's, this is the kind of game where you kind of, you hope that there's not a letdown, but you're almost kind of expecting a letdown. You know what I mean? Like, a team like Chicago, who's terrible already, and they're missing two of their better players, their best player, and then one of their better players in Nick Foligno. And it kind of went the way I thought, honestly. I thought Chicago would probably come out a little bit, you know, just have that little bit of jump early on, because it is the Jets, the best team in the league, no big deal. And the Blackhawks come in like, hey, maybe we could play spoiler a little bit. You know, all of those guys are playing for jobs still too, right? Like, it's not like they have nothing to play for. Like, those guys are still...
like, literal jobs.
Yeah, like, although almost 95% of that roster is playing for an NHL contract next year. But like you mentioned, this Jets team would have lost 3-0 probably last season, near, like, in the latter half of last season. It's, this team's just different. And even with the Scheifele injury and the lines being a mishmash, they were able to pull through, kind of just grab some momentum at the end there and find a way to get 2 points.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much it in this game, right? Like, it's just, when you play teams like Chicago, San Jose, you know, I mean, going the years past, some of the awful teams that you see, it's a lose-lose for good teams there, right? Because you beat the living doors off them. It's like, well, yeah, you were supposed to. And then if it's a tight one, like, people complain, right? Like, it's just, they're tough, especially like midway through the season. It's just tough to get up. Like, I mean, it's the same as, you know, it's funny. People always get mad at you know, NHL teams, professional athletes, whatever it is, when they kind of go through the motions on a night or something like that, right? And it's like, how can you do that? Like, how can you not be amped up and ready to go for a game? But how many people maybe only watch 30% of this game because they're like, oh, it's Winnipeg, Chicago. Like, even the fans are going through the motions. They're like, whether it's on TV or at the arena, like, I kind of get it, right? I mean,
well, and too, like, I'm not the biggest fan of when people compare, like, sports teams to office jobs, because there's just, the environment itself is super different, but everyone goes through weeks where it's just like, this day's kind of a write off. Like, I'm like, we'll go through the motions today. That's what today was for the Jets. Like, that's the fact, yeah, that they were able to find it within themselves, even after the Scheifele injury, because that too, that's a damper on the team. The team doesn't know what happened to him. They don't know how badly he's hurt. Hopefully it's nothing serious, but it weighs on a team. It's just kind of like an adrenaline dump in and of itself. So to be able to kind of rally back from that, it's a huge sign for this team.
Yeah, I mean, it's the only downer on the evening. But I mean, it's going to be the main talking point tomorrow morning or Friday morning. I guess people are listening to this on Friday morning, but it's going to be the main talking point heading into the weekend until further clarity is given here. It's just about 10 p.m. on Thursday night. Still haven't heard anything from the team or the coaching staff about what's happening with Scheifele. But I mean, let's break it down, Tice. It's always scary when it's a non-contact injury, because again, like, you know, generally players don't pull up lame for no reason and leave a game if nobody's touched them. I also like when people are like, I hate to speculate. That's not, people love to speculate about injuries. Like, fans eat that up. Everybody becomes a physio or a well-tenured doctor trying to diagnose and dissect injury. I always laugh when people say that, because it's like, I don't like to speculate, and then they speculate, and everyone's like, yeah, let's figure it out. I mean, to me, it looked like either a pull or a strain on a muscle, right? I don't know if you saw differently how serious that is. Who knows? Well, we'll find out. I don't think it's going to be anything too bad. what it does, I think, set up for, in all likelihood, is the Jets have to kind of just find a way to tread water until the All-Star break. And then that way you get a little bit of time. It sounds like Kyle Connor is a week away, right? So Connor might get a game or two in before the All-Star break. Billy Hanela will have a bit of time, right? Like, it kind of feels right now, I'll double check how many games the Jets have up until the All-Star break.
I believe it's six.
It's six?
Yeah, it's Flyers, Senators, Islanders, I believe,
yeah.
Bruins, and then back-to-back against the Leafs.
Yes. So it just depends. I mean, that. So let's just say the rest of January here, the Jets have six games to go through. And then they'll be the 27th of January, Feb 6. That's a pretty substantial break for the team then. 4-2 would be fantastic, in my opinion. and 3-3, I think would be just fine with the cushion they've given themselves, at least here. But I think the hope, I mean, best case scenario is probably just misses a couple of games. But if Scheifele has to be out until February, all in all, not the end of the world. You can kind of rejig your lines and have everything ready to go for, you know, you get that refresher, a little bit of rejuvenator, and then the push is on for top spot in the division at the very least for the Jets. But for me, it's just let's try to get through these next six without too much damage in the standings being done.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't like to speculate, but
but you're smiling.
but honestly, like, our family knows as good as anyone. Groin problems, groin injuries. Me too. I've had something very similar to happen to me, where it's just your skate either catches an edge or just hits a rut in the ice, and you don't have a clean stride, and pulled groin. Like, it's that. Just something like that, it could be that easy, and that's what I think.
I don't like to speculate that you go with like the body part. I was just gonna say muscle strain or pull.
I would say that's a groin injury, most likely a pulled groin. And if I was the Jets, I'm waiting until after the All-Star break, just because
what's the point?
Exactly. And one thing that I like about, I don't want to say I like about this injury, but one positive that can potentially come from this injury is now you have a six-game trial for Cole Perfetti to take the reins.
Okay. Well, yeah. So that's the obvious talking point to come out of this here is that, I mean, clearly a big hole in your lineup needs to be filled for the foreseeable future. Now, in game, Adam Lowry just moved up beside Nikolaj Ehlers and Gabe Vilardi. We saw the Perfetti, Nemestikov, and Iafallo line stick together. How the Jets are going to mishmash their bottom six. I mean, they've got more than enough guys to do that, right? So if they want to go that route, you know, they can throw together essentially any combination of players within there. Lowry did pick up two assists late in the game. And it's funny because right before that game tying goal in my head, I'm like, well, it's clearly obvious why, you know, Lowry isn't a number one center. And then he goes ahead and it's pass to Vilardi, tap in, pass to Ehlers, goal. So, like, maybe. But, I mean, what's the move now? What do you think? I guess there's two different things. What would you like the Jets to do, and what do you think the Jets will do? But I totally agree with you. It's a six-game audition for somebody to take over that number one center spot.
I'm going to start with what I think they're going to do, because I know for a fact they're probably not going to do what I would like them to do.
Good.
But what I think they do is I do think they give Perfetti a look on that top line. I think
they give Perfetti a look.
I do. I think it's just and what I don't know how long that look's going to be. I would assume though that he is the number one center for the game on Saturday against Philadelphia. I truly believe that. And then it's sort of that Lowry line becomes the second line. Vlad Nemestikov centers the quote unquote third line, and then the fourth line's there too. And I like it. I mean, I don't mind the idea.
Well, what would you do then?
Well, what I would do is I would Perfetti staying on that top line for the full six games, no matter how he does. And with the way the Jets have played so far this year, and with a little bit of cushion that they might have over these six games, I'm giving an all-star a look.
Oh, Tyson!
I'm bringing Brad Lambert up.
Oh, giving them a six-game trial.
Just for poops and giggles.
Oh.
Why not?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, it's not that he's unworthy of it. I don't think that's the play at all. I think he's lighting up the AHL to a degree. Just let him enjoy the season down there, right? Yeah, like, don't throw any extra pressure on him. It's one thing. I mean, he's to put him down the middle. No.
But I don't think there is any. I don't think you'd be putting any pressure on him. It's like a mini reward for his All-Star play. You let him, and then you send him back down for the AHL All-Star game and let him have that break too. I like the idea of getting him into the lineup and saying, just be you these six games. Just go out there, kind of get a little bit of a feel to the game, a little bit of the NHL speed, and then we'll see how the rest of the season goes. I highly doubt that happens. That's almost a 0% chance of it happening.
Put it in lightly, yeah.
But I don't know. I don't mind that idea of rewarding a prospect that's had a strong season so far.
I don't mind your idealistic sense of hope, Tyson, but it ain't happening. And I don't think it should happen either. The main thing being kind of what you touched on earlier, making the best out of a bad situation, you have given yourself potentially a 6-game trial to experiment and tinker and try things out a little bit. And we all know, I mean, we know what the biggest issue, I guess, or concern with this forward group is. It might be the biggest concern team-wide heading into the playoffs, and that's your depth down the middle. And so to me, I wouldn't be shocked. I would just be disappointed in the opportunity missed not giving either Perfetti or Velarde a chance down the middle here. I do like the concept of rewarding Adam Lowry, your captain, with that 1C spot in 20 minutes a night. Like, I do like that idea. I just don't think his game meshes well with Velarde and Ehlers. You know, like I said, even though he picked up those 2 points late, to me, it's just oil and water. Like, just let him do what he does best, and that's dominate on the third line with Nino and Appleton.
And play him close. You can play him close to 20 minutes.
It'll probably be a pretty even split between the top three lines. I don't think we're going to see anybody. I would be pretty surprised if we saw anybody crack, 20-plus minutes. I'm intrigued to see if it's going to be Perfetti or Velarde by the coaching staff as to who, like, they would tap on the shoulder for that job down the middle. Because I think that kind of tells you at least where they're leaning on who might be that guy for the future. I've made my thoughts well known on this. I think between the two young guys, I think Velarde is better suited to be a center long-term than Cole Perfetti is. So that would be the guy that I would go with, and I'd put Velarde down the middle with Nicky on one wing. I honestly wouldn't even care who else gets the call up on that other wing. I wouldn't mind seeing Morgan Barron get a bit of a speaking of rewarding guys, I wouldn't mind seeing Morgan Barron get a shot up there and play some, significant minutes with some high-end talent that he hasn't necessarily had the chance to do so in his career. But I also really like the way Perfetti and Namestnikov play off each other. Like, I don't know if I want to go ahead and break that up. And if they're both playing really well, why not go that route and then see what Gabe Velarde can do for you down the middle for the next handful of games? And that's, I wonder if the Jets are going to look at it through that lens of, the deadline's 7 weeks away, roughly. Like, this is a, you can find out a lot about the team, both in the future, but also in the present. If Velarde can go down the middle and look really, really strong, I mean, it at the very least gives you options heading into the postseason, right? It gives you options at the trade deadline, and then it gives you options lineup-wise if guys are faltering, if a line isn't firing on all cylinders, he's got wing center versatility, and we can shake things up accordingly.
Yeah, and you're going to shake up the even strength lines, but also even the power play unit. Like, that's a huge, huge member of the unit that's gone. And now I think that's going to have to force the Jets to really tinker with the unit, maybe come up with new ideas of how they want to either whether it's entering the zone, setting up inside the zone, what kind of different plays they want to run. Because it's tough. Like, you'd think that Ehlers kind of goes into that Shipley spot, and then maybe Perfetti runs the unit from the half wall on the right side. and then you go Velarde, Iafallo. I think that's probably likely what they do. But it gives you, like you said, it gives you an opportunity just to try new things and really see if you can kind of get the power play going just with different looks. And then when Scheifele gets back and Connor, incorporate those guys. Or even if that unit's cooking with Scheifele and Connor out, why not keep them together and throw Scheifele and Connor on a different unit? And maybe you have two units that are equally as strong, that can equally create chances for the team. Murata Tesh actually just put out a tweet that said Rick Bonus had his availability. No update on Mark Scheifele per Rick Bonus. More tomorrow.
Well then. Well, there you have it. No news.
Breaking news.
No news. Okay. Thank you for that, Tyson. You know, the one that I will say about the power play that showed up in that game against Chicago, and I don't know if it's going to have any far-reaching implications on the team over the course of the year, but surprisingly, Perfetti looked really good and dangerous in that spot kind of below the goal line, in around, like just to the left of the net that Kyle Connor was in for a long time, when back when, you know, it was Wheeler and Laine and everybody else on the power play. Like, for a little guy, he's pretty effective at getting to the net. Like, it's really bizarre. You think somebody would just plow him into the third row, but he kind of just like slithers his way through everybody, and he created some dangerous scoring chances. So I wonder if the Jets take note of that, and maybe, you know, a little unorthodox, but Perfetti gets a nod somewhere down below the goal line behind the net in that area, and you could try to see if you can operate the power play through some different angles down there. But yeah, I mean, it's plenty of intrigue now headed into that game Saturday night against Philadelphia, because also a ton of intrigue heading into that practice on Friday. Assuming the team hits the ice Friday, we'll get a sense of how the Jets are going to line up for that game up against the Flyers. Nonetheless, though, a big 2 points with a big push down the stretch run to the third period there. And like we said, 8 in a row for the Jets, 3 points up on Colorado, a bunch more up on Dallas. And yeah, they're going to need every one of those points over this next stretch before the cavalry comes back in. Like I mentioned there, Kyle Connor probably a week away, might get in a couple of games before the All-Star break. And then Ville Heinola down with a moose now, which is awesome that he's ready to go for game action. So we'll have to keep an eye on him and see how he's doing. It really sucks for the kid, though, because you can't take anybody out right now. Like, who do you take out? I know Nate Schmidt's got the big cap hit, but for a third pair defenseman, he's been outstanding.
Like, who are you going to send down to bring up Heinola now?
He can't catch a break. Like, it's so terrible. At the very least, though, he was going to need a couple weeks anyways to get back up to game shape. So we'll see what happens with them then, but all the best for Ville and even Rasmus Kupari as well, who's going to get slowly integrated back in. And then, yeah, you're right. It's decision time a bunch of people are going to get the short end of the stick, and I don't think anybody deserves to be sent down at this point, but it's the way she goes on a number one team. Got to make tough decisions. And then some undeserving players are going to have a bit of a tough time getting the assignment that they don't necessarily want to have. So we'll keep an eye on that over the next little bit. But that'll do it for the game against Chicago. On tap next, a game we'll both be at live, Tyson. Torts and the Flyers are coming to town. Torts, Drysdale, and the Flyers are coming to town. I do not like Cutter Gauthier, and I think that's about as polite as I can do it. I don't, it's late at night. I don't want to swear. I don't want to start getting angry. But it was the story in hockey this week.
It was. It still is.
I guess it's not dying. But just these entitled, immature dicks that play college hockey down south. You hate to stereotype, Tyson, but there's only one group of players over the last handful of years that pull stunts like this. And Gauthier follows the Adam Fox, Jimmy VC, whatever else mold here of
Kevin Hayes.
Kevin Hayes. If I'm not getting my way, then away I go here. I mean, it is interesting. I wonder how many people would agree with me on this. Mine is the questionable behavior by their fan base. Very actually see... No. But I actually see a lot of similarities between Philadelphia and Winnipeg. And I say that because I think both Philadelphians and Winnipeggers are fiercely protective of their city. And the second somebody spurns them, you've made an enemy for life. Philly handles this much differently than Winnipeg does, but I think the emotion and the mind are in the same sort of a place. I mean, from a Philly perspective, I kind of wonder if this is their Pierre-Luc Dubois moment where, and obviously it's not the perfect comparison, but a malcontent gets shipped out and it's like a galvanizing moment of, well, if you don't want to be with us, then get the hell out of here. And we're going to find a way to make it work with the guys that we have here. It clearly worked in Winnipeg. Remains to be seen if it works in Philadelphia. But man, like I'm still miffed at the level, the insane level of entitlement. Although he's a kid still, but he's sure proving that he's a kid, because a man at the very least gives the time of day and speaks face to face with his potential / former employers and tells them, look, this is why it's not going to work, and we're not going to find a way to mend this relationship. To ghost not only respected people around the hockey world, but also guys that have been through the ring, like Danny Briere, Keith Jones, John LeClair is a freaking American hockey legend.
And John LeClair was with the program when Cutter Gauthier was with them, too.
Patrick Sharp, like, it goes on and on. He's just a dick. I can't stand the kid. I hope he has a long career, but he stubs his toe every single day getting out of bed. I understand player, what's the word? Player independence or whatever it is. But you don't have to be a dick about it. Sorry, earmuffs, kids.
Well,
Cutter Gauthier, it's just not how you handle the situation.
And if you think if there's anyone that would have the similar insight into Philly organizations and how they might not properly treat a player, Patrick Sharp, like Patrick Sharp literally was treated worse than Gauthier was. And now he's already willing to come back and be.
By the way, Tyson's referring to when he was with the Flyers organization and
right. Didn't and get a chance. Ken Hitchcock was the coach. He didn't give him enough playing time. He got yo-yoed around in and out of the lineup, sent down to the minors, then obviously goes on to Chicago and has a great career for the rest of his career. And so for a guy like that to be with the organization that quote-unquote spurred him early on in his career, to be back there and then wanting to reach out to a player and say, hey, I know things might not seem great right now, but there's things we can work together and push things in the right direction. Kid just thinks that he knows everything already.
Well, now I almost forgot about this, Tyson. And people here in Winnipeg will probably not be shocked to hear this. But would it blow anybody's mind? And I'll give you three guesses, and the first two don't count, about who this kid's agent is.
I don't know.
Kurt Overhart.
Who
would have guessed that it was Kurt Overhart representing Cutter Gauthier? So, I mean, you've got an entitled, immature, stupid kid being guided by a ruthless sleazeball agent. Let's call it what it is. Shouldn't really shock anybody that it came to this.
And you want to know what's hilarious, too? Do you know who else Kurt Overhart represents? John Gibson. A guy who's been stuck in Anaheim his whole career, who's asked for trades multiple times, and he's not getting out. And you send a guy who didn't want to be with an organization because of the way he's been treated, and you send him to Anaheim, where you have another client who's been wanting out for almost 5 years now at this point.
Well, hey, Tyson, there's not going to be too many teams left that haven't been spurned by a Kurt Overhart client. So, I wonder at some point, when GMs are like, enough's enough, like, can we just stop with this crap and like focus on hockey as opposed to what happens where. But yeah, the biggest problem to me is, again, if you're in any walk of life, I mean, look, if somebody flies across the ocean to ask for 5 minutes of your time, the adult thing to do in that situation is to at least listen to what they have to say. If your mind's made up, your mind's made up. But actually, the more I think about it, Tyson, this is your fault. This is you and your Gen Z generation. Oh, I need everything right now. And if it's not perfect, then
don't put that on me.
I want my way. I don't get my way. Oh, I want to go to California because that's the only place that I could be happy in.
That's American, man.
You're to blame.
That's not that Canadian style, that grind. There's still some of us out there that want that, that want the grind.
Speaking of people that have forced their way to California, you wanted to talk about Pierre-Luc Dubois, Tyson, in his recent stretch of hockey for the ice cold LA Kings, who are losers of seven straight. What have you know? You've been watching Pierre Dubois lately? What's the intel?
Well, Brandon, the intel is not good if you're a Pierre Dubois fan.
Thank you. Yeah.
Because I had saw that he was moved down the lineup. He wasn't quite on the fourth line yet when I'd seen this, but he was moved down the lineup.
At some point this past week, he started a game at fourth line center, but
And he was moved very early on in another to the fourth line. I don't even think he made it through the first period without being moved down to the fourth line. And if he wasn't making the contract that he was making, he'd be a healthy scratch 1,000%. I have never seen Brandon, like, you remember the torts, like the shift that ended his tenure in Columbus. He does seven times a game. He does that seven times a game. It is crazy. And I saw some Kings fans, like, I like to get the fan side, the Kings fan side of it and see what they're thinking. Like, maybe I'm have some hate colored lenses on and I'm not seeing the game the right way because I want Dubois to fail. A lot of them were, I saw a couple that, I mean, the prevailing argument is that he stinks and doesn't care about the team. There were some defenders as there were going to be. And there was one game where he was with Adrian Kempe, and Kempe scored two goals early on in the first period. And he was moved off that line before the end of the game. And people were going crazy saying, well, no wonder he can't get going. He doesn't spend. Yeah. Do you want to know why he didn't finish the game with Kempe? Because he missed his guy. He left his guy all the way past the blue line for a goal. Like, there's so many times throughout a game where you're just watching him and it's zero effort. Not even like a give a fake effort. Like, this guy's just standing straight up in the neutral zone, trying to back check in quotations. Like, the Jets dodged one of the biggest bullets. And if Dubois was in Montreal, he would be out of there already. I honestly don't think he would even make it through a season with Montreal.
I'd love it. It's just another trade he can request out of town.
I think he's gone from LA in the next three seasons. You can't have that guy on your team if you actually want to contend.
Yeah. Well, you hate to see it. But the only reason I might balk at that is who's going to want to take the ticket of 8.5? You know what I mean? Like, I can understand maybe LA wanted to get out of it, but you need somebody that's willing to acquiesce to your requests on the other end there. By the way, with Gabe Vilardi's goal tonight, that puts him at 18 points this season, which is two more than Pierre-Luc Dubois in 15 less games. And Alex Iafallo with 17 points. 17 is more than 16, so that means two pieces from the trade are currently outscoring Dubois.
How many points?
Kupari. Kupari was at one point the fastest skater in the NHL, so Pierre-Luc Dubois was not, so that's another notch in the Jets' victory belt there, and Montreal lost again tonight. That second rounder is getting closer to a late first rounder. Cool. Well, good luck out there in LA, PLD, and good luck out there in Anaheim, Quitter Goche. Best of luck to you guys in your careers. Either way, things are looking pretty good in Winnipeg. I was going to say Philly. That's not totally true, actually. But, oh, well, that's a me problem. Either way, yeah, I don't think Jets fans are going to hate that little breakdown there, Tice, that things aren't going great for Dubois in L.A., and the team's not doing so well, and the Jets pick up 8 straight dubs, and they continue their chase for top spot in the NHL. At the very least, top spot in the Central Division. That's good enough for me. Let's take tops of the division there and avoid Colorado, Dallas in round one. The Jets, fortunately, at the moment, officially halfway through the year, are on pace to do that. So we'll keep track of all that. And yeah, let's set our attention to Saturday night. Jets Flyers. Be nice to me if you see me there. Don't yell at me. I'm not gonna boo. I'm a very polite fan. I won't be rude. So I just want to sit down in the uncomfortable chairs and watch the Flyers likely get blown out Saturday night. I only get one chance a year, so just let me enjoy it. But would love to talk to you guys if you're able to go down. Love to chat hockey and all that stuff. So we'll see how the game goes Saturday as the Jets try to make it 9 straight. And if they do, number 10 will be on Tuesday night against the New York Islanders. If they win that one, you face Ottawa. Boston, Toronto is a bit of a tough one there, but you get to double digits, and yeah, that's going to be some good times here in Winnipeg to start 2024. Good times to start the year and good times to end the episode. We'll wrap things up and yeah, let's head into the weekend in style, everybody. We'll talk to you guys on Tuesday morning. Like we said there, breaking down the Jets game against Philly, getting ready for the matchup against the Islanders, and hopefully some good injury news over the weekend as well with Scheifele, Hainala, Kupari, Kyle Connor. Hopefully that's it. So, yeah, let's keep it at 4. We don't need to add anybody else to that mix there. We'll talk about that and then any other news and notes around the NHL. I'm sure some Gen Z hockey player will request a trade to Dallas or something stupid. So we'll talk about it all with you guys after the weekend there. Until then, though, hope you guys stay safe and have a great time. Try to avoid the snow as well. And we'll chat soon. And thank you so much for listening to another episode of Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Rowicki. CJ Obese Tyson Rowicki with us once again. We'll talk to you guys Tuesday morning. Have a great weekend. Peace.